says Psalm 119, and then it says 129 to 136.
Yeah, verses 129 to 136.
Okay, well, if you go to Psalm 119, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
Where's verse? Oh, so it keeps going. Okay, that's what I... Wow, it's really long. Okay.
Yes, okay.
For some reason, when I saw the different names...
Yeah,
yeah, we're good. I
good.
Understand now.
Good.
129 good. Is this right here.
Where that Kleenex box is,
and okay.
It'll blow right on you.
Thank you. Thank you, Alan. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, the protector of all that trust in thee, without whom nothing is strong, nothing is holy, increase and multiply upon us thy mercy, that thou being our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal, that we finally lose not the things eternal, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated for reading of God's Word.
Because he walked. Lord my God, you have made my servant king in place of my father David. Although I'm only a child, I do not know how to go out or to come in. And your servant in the midst of the people with whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding of mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this of your great people? It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, because you have asked this, and not for yourself, or for long life, or riches, or for the life of your enemies, but you have asked yourself of understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
All right, next we will read through Psalm 119, and this can be found on page 774 in the Book of Common Prayer. And we'll read responsibly. I'll read the first part, and we'll all read the second part. We're starting with verse 137. That's on the bottom of page 774. And actually, I said that wrong. We're going to start on verse 129. That's about a little bit towards the top. Your decrees are wonderful. Therefore I obey them with all my heart. When your word goes forth, it gives light.
It gives understanding to the simple.
I open my mouth and pant.
I long for your commandments.
Turn me to me in mercy.
As you always do to those who love your name.
Steady my footsteps in your word.
Let no iniquity have dominion over me.
Recuse me from those who oppress me.
And I will keep your commandments.
Let your countenance shine upon your servant.
And teach me your statutes.
My eyes shed streams of tears.
Because people do not keep your law.
All right. Our second reading this morning is a letter from Paul to the Romans. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that the very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed in the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about those things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, he will not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring us any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, For your sake, we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in our creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Another parable Jesus put before the crowds. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is... Jesus is talking about in the gospel today about the kingdom of God. So the first thing that we all would like to find out is, what is the kingdom of God? In Matthew chapter 13 that you just read in the gospel, Jesus shared 7 stories or parables explaining what the kingdom of God looks like. The parable of the sower, the parable of the weeds, the parable of the mustard seed, the parable of the yeast, the parable of the hidden treasure in the field, the parable of the pearl of great value, and the parable of the net. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said something that shows very clearly what he believed the kingdom of God to be. In the Lord's Prayer, there are 2 petitions side by side. We always pray that prayer. We say, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So when we put these 2 petitions of the Lord's Prayer together, we get a perfect definition of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a society and a state of things when God's will is perfectly done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, William Barclay said Jesus' idea of the kingdom was the idea of a time when all people would perfectly do the will of God. Romans chapter 14, verse 17, the Bible says, God's kingdom isn't about eating and drinking. It is about pleasing God, about living in peace, and about true happiness. All this comes from the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says. In 1 Corinthians 4:20, Paul said, for the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It is living by God's power. So when Jesus spoke of the kingdom of God, he was using a religious term that was well known to the Jews. Now, this is the most important thing to understand in the scriptures. By the time that Jesus spoke these parables, he was using a religious term that was well known to the Jews. It's like if he were to talk to the Americans today, he would talk about hamburgers and hot dogs and baseball. And we all understand that, right? Same way, he was using a religious term that are well known to the Jews who had long referred to God as king. What does a king have? A king will always have a kingdom. So the kingdom of God is a realm in which God's reign is experienced. So when we use the phrase the kingdom of God, we mean the rule, the kingship, the dominion of God in our hearts, in our minds, and in our lives. Jesus never said the kingdom of God is a place where there's wealth and power or political prestige. Jesus said the kingdom of God is a place where people do the will of God. So what is the kingdom of God compared to in the Bible? You heard it this morning. He said that it's like a man who sowed good seed in his field. Where we talked about it last Sunday in the sermon, where good and evil exist side by side. Then again he said it's like a mustard seed. What does that tell you? It tells me that it is insignificant yet filled with the life of God. And then he said something about a landowner who went early in the morning to hire people to work. And Jesus says, kingdom of God is a place like that where there is fairness. And then he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. In other words, in the kingdom of God, there is forgiveness. And once again, he says, it's like a net that we read this morning. Which means there are different colors, different races, different languages, like different kinds of fish. That's what the kingdom of God looks like. And so, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure, he said, it's like a hidden in a field. To dig the treasure, what do people do? You have to dig deep. So only when we reach the depths of intimacy in our walk with God, we will obtain the treasures of the kingdom of God. So you let him look for it. And that's why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, and what did he say? And all these things will be added unto you. It's a complete change, starting all over again, a new beginning, a change of mind. Now, how does one enter the kingdom of God? You become a member of the kingdom of God by entering into a covenant with God. And this takes place for us Christians at holy baptism. And the prayer book calls it the baptismal covenant. And Jesus also said in John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, talking to Nicodemus, he said, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. So who will not enter the kingdom of God? Who will not enter the kingdom of God? He called a little child one day and had him stand among them, and he said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of God. Jesus says, you've got to believe in me like a child. You've got to trust me to lead you. You've got to depend on me to provide for you. That's what he's saying. And there are also folks today in the church, in the world today, there are kingdom, not only the kingdom of God, there are kingdom blockers. Kingdom blockers. Jesus said this. He said, woe to you, teachers of the law and the Pharisees, you hypocrites. You shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. In other words, he's saying, don't be a stumbling block to someone else. Don't be like a dog in the manger. Instead, he said, this is how we are called to live as citizens of the kingdom of God. How? It's like it says in Matthew 20, verse 26, it's by serving God, by serving others. If Jesus says, if one of you wants to be great, you must be the servant of the rest. Sympathetic service. Jesus said, I was hungry, and you fed me. Thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you received me in your homes. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me in prison, and you visited me. The righteous will then answer him, when, Lord, did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we ever see you a stranger and welcome you in our homes, or naked and clothe you? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? The king will reply, I tell you, whenever you did this for one of the least important of these followers of mine, you did it for me. This morning I was coming to church, you know, I live in Katy, came to Starbucks, had ordered a cup of coffee, and there was a man seated there with a bag, and he was a homeless person. And then he asked me for a cup of coffee. It's a very simple thing, and I was coming here to preach this sermon this morning. It's like that, a simple thing that we can do to help somebody else. A man who has not showered for a long time, it's obvious. A man who was desperate, just waiting there. I never seen anybody sitting in Starbucks like that, but there are people like that, right? So, it's a simple thing. But God has called us in this kingdom, if you say it's the kingdom of God, if he's the king, if he has called us to do something, what are we doing about it? And in conclusion, that's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:20. I'd like to conclude with his words. He said, for the kingdom of God, it is not just a lot of talk. It is living by God's power. That's what it is.